And Lord, we bless your holy name. For you are our fortress. You are a Prince of Peace. You are everything we need or desire. Help us, Father. Help us to endure whatever it is, the path that we have to go on. Because we know, Father, in this life, there will be storms. Because you say storms are coming. So, Father, this morning, we thank you because you are God. Not because of the storm, but we thank you because we know you in control of the storms. We thank you, Father, that you brought us into this day, into this point in time of our lives, that we have a purpose. And, Father, we're asking that you would reveal it to each and every one of us. For we know it's all about you, but we all have work to do. Let us do what you want done that glorifies and honors you. Father, this morning we praise your holy name. For you are the God of day and night. You're the God of the living and the dead. Father, you are everything and in everything. So, Father, we come this morning to praise your name and to glorify you, Father. We come also, Lord, to hear from you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive and a mind to understand. Let the speaker, Jeanette, Lord, bring forth your word for what you want to be said, not what she may desire to. Give her a complete guidance and a complete deliverance, Father, that only you can do. So, Holy Spirit, will you take over, Jeanette, in every part of this ministry right now today? And everything that will be done, let it be to the glory of you, Lord. We praise you this morning. We honor you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen, Richard. Thank you.
And Heavenly Father, I ask you to bind every unclean thing that would come against this Bible study today. I ask you to keep airways open.
Yes.
I ask you, Lord, to not allow any unnecessary hindrances. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, we're going to be in Obadiah. And why Obadiah? I had no idea, but I learned the very day that I was in it. So the Lord woke me up and he said to read Obadiah. And I said, Obadiah? And I found out, so here we are. Obadiah is considered a minor prophet, and his name means the worshiper,
mm-hmm.
or a worshiper. He has a vision from the Lord concerning Edom. Edom is the descendant of Esau. Hold on a second. Edom is the Edomites are the descendants of Esau. For example, remember in the story of Job and Eliphaz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Eliphaz was called the Tammanite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Tammanite is one of Esau's four sons, Tammin.
Mm-hmm.
So that entire tribe, Tammin's tribe, were also Edomites. They were known for their wisdom mm-hmm. and their knowledge. Okay. So, Alexandra, would you start on verse 1?
Absolutely. The vision of Obadiah. This is what the Sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, Rise, let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride
Stop.
Of your heart... Ooh, yes.
Stop 1 second. I should have gone into... what's going on here is Israel has already gone into captivity. Jerusalem has been invaded. The walls have come down. And now God is talking to, okay, who is the father of Israel? We went through all of his sons. What's his name?
Jacob.
Jacob. Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob is the father of all of the sons. Abraham it goes back to, but Jacob is the one that birthed the 12 sons. And out of these sons came Jacob and Esau, remember?
Mm-hmm.
From Isaac. So Esau is Jacob's brother. Mm-hmm. And Esau is the one who lost his birthright to Jacob. Everybody on that page, you remember the story?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob loses his birthright to Esau. And the two brothers, they kind of sort of made peace. Remember when they met and they, you know, Jacob sent all these mm-hmm. gifts. But they really did go their separate ways for a lifetime. And now Jacob's descendants, due to disobedience, this, that, and the other, same old story with Israel, due to the disobedience, they have been invaded. Their walls are down. Their people have been carried away. And it's not a pretty picture. And this has already happened. This is not a vision. This has already happened. But the vision is what Obadiah is having right now. And his vision is going to Jacob's brother's family, the Esau, the Edomites. Okay, that's where we are. Okay, go ahead, Alexandra.
Sure, verse 3. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights, you who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground?
Stop.
Though you
stop. Give me 3 seconds between verses today.
Sure.
Okay. So what's going on here? He's talking about you who make your home in the clefts or your habitation in the clefts of the rock. The Edomites, this sect of people lived in the clefts of the rocks of the high part of the mountain. Has any of you, some of you may have been to New Mexico. And
yes.
If you go to New Mexico, there's certain parts of New Mexico that you can visually see the cut out holes all in the sides of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where certain tribes used to live, Indian tribes as we would call them today. Indian tribes used to live in holes they cut into the mountain, and this little cave houses. Really amazing to see. And amazing to see they're still there. And they would make their houses kind of high up, because the higher up your house, the harder it is to get to be robbed or anything else. As a matter of fact, they began to learn that the peoples that would want to invade Edom began to find out it's near impossible. How are you going to climb up the mountain and the person not throw a rock at your head and you're back down the mountain? So there was no way. It was very, very difficult. And the Edomites, they prided themselves in how smart they were, because they were. Turns out they had a gift. So they hide themselves in the cleft of the rock, or holes in the mountainside, which made for a very, very good city. And their city was on high. Okay, go ahead.
Sure, verse 4. Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If these came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes?
Stop.
But how?
Here, what he's saying here is that even God is saying, I'm getting ready to cut you off.
Right.
And even if you were robbed, robbers don't take everything. Even if someone raided your grapevines, there still would be something left. But, oh, how I will be cutting you off. It's not about robbers. It's not about, I'm cutting you off. Okay.
Verse 6. But how Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasure, pillaged, all your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it.
Stop.
In that day.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying to Esau, the hidden treasures will be sought after. In other words, and you know, a lot of people in their homes, we're in Obadiah, the first chapter, for those who just joined us.
Carol.
Hi, Carol. We have, we're in Obadiah chapter 1. Now, Esau, what he's saying that, you know how you hide special things in special places?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In your home, some treasures that you have, whether it's jewelry,
yes,
whether it's cash, whatever,
yes,
it is. He's saying that that will be found. In other words, nothing's going to be left unturned because God is dealing with this. All the men of your confederacy, what does that mean? He's talking about the nations that were allies to you. These people that you thought were your friends, these nations that have stood with you, will force you to the border. Now, what does that mean? Remember, they are dwellers of the high places, and they live in the mountains and in the, you know, caves carved into the mountains. So you're going to be brought all the way down to the ocean. The men, that's what, and when they said border, they're not talking about of the city, they're talking about the ocean. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat bread shall lay a trap for you, who eat bread with you. In other words, you will not have anybody that you can trust, but you won't even be aware that this is happening. That's a terrible thing. Okay, verse 8.
Sure. In that day, declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom?
Those of understanding from the mountains of Esau. Sorry, stopped you too soon. What is the Lord saying, and why is he calling them wise men of Edom? He's calling them wise men of Edom because they had a special gift. You're going to see throughout the biblical history where that is talked about, how wise they were. I want to bring this up because sometimes we can become very arrogant. And just as God gave the gift of wisdom to these people, he is saying, I'm going to be taking it back. That's a little telling. Just because you may have started out one way, displease God enough and see what happens. So he's going to take away their understanding and their wisdom. Why is he doing that? Because he does not want them to have anything to work with for the destruction that he's bringing upon them. They will not know how to turn to the left or to the right. They won't have any understanding because he's going to not allow it. He's going to take the gift of wisdom that he had given them. Okay.
Verse 9. Your warriors, 10 men, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. Because of the violence.
I just bringing this up. He's bringing up because Teman and the Edomites of this sect of Esau's children, they would laugh as they went into battle. Their warriors were known for their strategies, and their ability to win is just amazing. So, but now it's going to be very different. They're not losers, but they will become losers in battle. Okay.
Verse 10. Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof, while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not gloat.
Stop for a second. Now, all of this first prophecy that goes up to verse 9 is all dealing with what is going to happen. Obadiah is seeing this. He's seeing this destruction coming on these people. And now he's giving you the why. what he saw is in the future, but what God is angry about has already happened. The violence against your brother Jacob. When Jerusalem was invaded, they did not help. As a matter of fact, they gloated. Now I'm going to sidebar for a minute and share with those of you on the call what happened the day the Lord sent me to this scripture. And I hopefully will finish it. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Bible, and it is only one chapter, and maybe we'll finish it, but we got a late start this morning.
Sorry.
That's okay. Not you. We just didn't start and then kind of went a little long. So it doesn't matter. We'll see where God takes us, because I'm sure it's all important. The other day, the Lord woke me up, said Obadiah. Again, I kind of argued, why Obadiah? Well, I have to read that for, blah, blah, blah. I read Obadiah, and I still really didn't get the message. I just read it and said, okay, if that's what you want me to speak on Sunday, so be it. Well, that morning, and that was early in the morning, about 9:30, I found myself at a post office. I had some business to take care of. At the post office, a woman came in with a bandana on of the American flag. And apparently she had just bought some stamps and walked out, but now she's, you know, whatever, and walking back in. She walks in and she supersedes the entire line, stands between the line and the postal workers, and she says, I don't want stamps that have a black man on it.
Whoa.
Now, everybody in line was pretty much, I'm the only in the store, and half the time people can't even tell what I am. But the rest of the people in there were basically Indians and Asians. And you could hear the, you could hear the under the breath, not cool with that. The lady says, okay, I think it was an Asian woman, okay, I'll help you in a minute. The lady shouts again, I'm telling you, I don't want stamps with a black man on it.
Whoa.
The lady says a second time, give me a minute. Then the lady says, I'm not going to mail letters with niggers on it. It just went way over the top. By then, my blood was boiling. I could feel that I was shaking. And they're trying to calm this thing down. The lady helping me, I was already at the window, the lady helping me says, you know, this is not even a person. Don't let it bother you. This is not even a person. But I was supposed to be signing my name, and I was trembling.
Yeah.
I was getting so angry.
Yeah.
And so, and it ignited something else in me that, you know, God has kept under wraps for, you know, a few years now, and I hope he continues to. Then the lady asks her, what stamps do you want, ma'am? And the lady says, I want flowers or love.
Mm.
Then I snapped and I said, so what would you know about love? I said, what could you possibly know about love? And the woman did not answer me. And I thank God, because that could have turned into something really catastrophic that wasn't the point. I have been dealing with this ever since it happened. It disturbed me to the core of my being. And I find myself struggling not to want to see bad things happen to these people. Really bad things. For example, I'm reading online yesterday, and somebody did an article on one of the insurrectionists trying to get out of jail, or not go to jail or stay in jail, because other insurrectionists, one of them has lost his eye, another one, you know, and his nose has been broken. He's, you know, they're getting beat up by guards, apparently, supposedly, but I don't doubt that, because jail's no pretty place.
Mm-hmm.
I found no compassion in my heart for him. Wow, they're getting beat up. Welcome to our children's world.
Yes.
Welcome. Now you know what it's like to be put in a cage and mistreated.
Yes.
But then all of a sudden, the Lord began to speak to me, remember Obadiah? Remember how I felt when one brother did not take care of the other brother? And you can say, well, that was just because, you know, it was God's people, blah, blah, blah. That's not the case. Because in Deuteronomy, the Lord tells Israel, don't ever despise your brother Esau.
Yes.
He is your brother. I said, Lord, that's a hard lesson. This is a hard lesson for me today. Because what has been stirred up in this country is so much hatred that it's bleeding
yes.
into our own hearts.
Yes.
We're becoming angrier and angrier. What does anger give birth to if not hate? The very thing that we have been a victim of is now brewing in us if we are not careful.
Yes.
I said, okay, so am I supposed to pray for this woman? I want to pray that she get taken off the face of the earth and all of her kind. Lord is speaking this morning. We must be careful. We must guard our heart. Or we will become the same thing, the very thing that we've been a victim of. This is the adversary's plan. How about we take everybody to hell in a basket?
Yeah.
I'll let you be the perpetrator, and then I'll make the people you've perpetrated against hate you, and now I got you both. Two for the price of one. So Esau is being condemned here, his line, the Edomites, because what did they do? Let me tell you what they did. And I could say, well, gee, I could see me doing that. When Israel was invaded and terrible things began to happen to the Israelites, do you know what the Edomites did? They even blocked the way out where you had Israelites trying to run and flee for their lives. They helped block the path to get away, places where other soldiers from the invading armies were not. They missed the path. The Edomites were standing in the way. Keep reading.
Verse 12. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judea in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble.
Stop. It's hard not to do. But I am going to be asking the Lord this day to please guard our hearts.
Yes.
Guard our hearts, O Lord. Because it is hard not to gloat and watch what happens to people that have persecuted for years and centuries. It's hard not to gloat. But the Lord is telling us, no, no, no. No, no. That is not the biblical response to an enemy. And this isn't even your enemy. It's your brother. Verse 13.
You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster.
What was happening? They were also even partaking in raiding, looting, because it was an opportunity to do so. we all know that Israel, I mean, that Edomites were very, very blessed as Israel had been. But here we have the Israelites, and now they're, you know, they're, the walls have come down, they're being invaded. Things are, you know, they're in a bad situation with other nations. And unfortunately, his brother Esau thought this was a good opportunity to take some things too. You should not have entered the gate of my people. What, not only did they enter the gate, but again, they stood in the way of them being able to get away. Remember always that God is watching the whole picture. Even when God is bringing calamity or allowing, remember, this invasion of Israel happened because God said so. He's dealing with his people and he's allowing it. But woe unto those that participate. Keep reading.
14. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your head.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Stop right there.
Sure.
I think that says it all, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. As it has, as you have done, it will be done to you. And it is very easy to want to get in front of the Lord if you are dumb enough to do so and argue the point. Well, they did this and they did that, but you are going to stand judgment for your reaction to it. I said, well, Lord, this is very hard. It's very hard. That woman represented to me just the entire culture of hatred. But the Lord had already prepped me that morning. Be careful. Now, Jeanette,
yes.
Let me take your hand. I want to show you something.
Mm.
I want to show you something. Do you feel, I mean, I know that Esau must have felt vindicated since Jacob had done what Jacob did. These are the descendants. You guys were talking earlier about generations and generations. These generations know the story of what Jacob did. These generations harbor the same heart of their father Esau. That's why they could be so happy and gloat when they see the destruction of their own cousin.
Yeah.
My uncle's kids. These are my cousins. And I'm happy to see them fall. I can't wait to see them fall. What do we end on? We end on, what does he say? The day of the Lord upon nations is near. All nations, including our nation. The Lord drove it home. I cannot speak of what is going to happen here in America. But I know that his judgment is on all nations.
Yes. Yeah.
Whatsoever we have sown, America's going to have to reap.
Amen.
Yes.
I said this before, and I'm urging you, stand in the gap for this nation because she's going to need it. She's going to need all the prayer and the praying for grace and mercy that this nation can get. We see what has been stirred up in the hearts of many and risen, and don't be deceived that it's not stirred up in your heart too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fighting it in my own heart. This is a battle. This is a war.
Yes.
This is a spirit of hatred that's been unleashed on the land so that the land would begin, so that the people of the land would begin to destroy one another. Kind of take up, if you can, just go up into the spiritual realm, look down, and look at what this looks like.
Mm.
All of a sudden you have people fighting that were of one nation, supposedly. The hatred's always been an underlining force, but to get it to the point where you're going to just walk in and say stuff like this, there's no filter anymore, and the anger is just mounting.
So, Jeanette, I know we only have a few minutes left. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
So I have a question. So what should be the response when somebody overtly says something racist like that in front of you and in front of a group of people? How are we supposed to handle that without getting angry?
What I'm going to do, first of all, is I'm going to turn that question around, Fran, and I'm going to ask anybody who wants to share, how would you have handled it?
Well, it's funny you ask that, but the Holy Spirit, you'll be surprised, especially for me because I've been in that same position numerous of times because I'm the only Black in my community and have been for the past 25 years and have been a business owner, and all of my clients have been Caucasian. He will guard that tongue. Sometimes in my mind I'm speaking, but nothing comes out of my mouth. It's supernatural almost for me. That's been only my experience because I'm very vocal. But the Holy Spirit has a way of, guarding and guiding your tongue.
Okay, next person.
Well, two parts. One is to answer Fran's question. I believe it's just what Alexandra has said, is that you have to allow the Holy Spirit. You have to just think for a moment. Don't speak. God says, be angry, but sin not. So you will get angry. That's that you cannot avoid that, but sin not. So then you ask, Holy Spirit, please, right now, in the name of Jesus, calm my spirit. Because if you say something, it may lead to sin. So it has to be that way. It has to be where you are. You can't deny what it is, because then you're lying to yourself, and that's not good.
Yes.
You will become angry. But you ask Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus, speak to me, use me. And that's where you have to go, because I have failed in that area many times. But I'm learning to yield my soul to the Lord. My will and my want to the Lord. And it's not always going to be perfect, but that's what you have to do.
One of the things that I want to interject here before the next person gives a response that chooses to is it is far more effective to allow God to fight your battle. Do you think he didn't see that?
Yes.
He took me to that. Because he was trying to show me something in me. And that I would be able to bring this message from a fresh point, that you're not talking about something you haven't dealt with. But what is he doing? How can you respond to these situations? What's your answer? We have Fran, we have Richard, we have Alexandra. Anybody else want to share what you think the response ought to be when you're confronted with this kind of racist rhetoric?
This is Terry. I like Richard's response. I think his response was on point. I know when I was confronted with racism, I didn't seek the Lord, and my fleshly logic said, address this racist based on socioeconomic factors and let them see that they're in my world. If you're so much better than I am, why are you in my world? Our paths should never even cross. So that was me in the flesh. But what Richard said is on point. Seek the Lord to know how to fight this battle. And that's what I would do today. Thank you.
Amen.
I think it's custom designed too. Because I'm mouthy, like I will step to you. I don't care who you are. That was used to be me in the flesh. And so the Holy Spirit has to control Alexander totally differently. In other words, he has to lock my tongue.
Exactly.
And make me rest in it. Because I'll go there with you. Richard's calmer than Miss Alexander, I'm just saying.
No. No. He said he's working on it.
Yes. Amen.
But what are we going to say? that would be more powerful than what God will do. When God says, I will fight your battles, what clever comeback? What aggressive comeback? What pitting the person into, you know, starting fun so there be some? What are we, what can we do that would be better than how God will handle it for you? And then all these scriptures start popping off. Insults will come. Don't be readily offended. Try your best not to put it in perspective. Yeah. It still was a dagger to my emotions, even though later my mind began to process, it's her problem. This is her issue. Don't make it your issue. Jeanette, you're better than that. Jeanette. So I was holding my tongue in the first place, but it still popped out. What could you possibly know about love? I did not overcome. And let me tell you, lest we try to, you know, stroke ourselves, my comment, someone would say, yeah, that wasn't bad. Hey, do you really think it affected her?
No.
There's nothing anybody in there. People were saying, you're not even a human being. People were, you know, saying things under their breath, but loud enough for her to hear it. She didn't care about that. The only one that's going to change her heart is God, not some clever words from a pissed off, offended person. Yeah. So why not let God handle this? Let God handle your enemies. Because if we don't, then we end up endangering our own souls. There are certain things you don't want to lift your hand or be involved in. I don't want to be arrested. And I don't want it on my record that Jeanette attacked the lady in the post office and is now facing assault charges. I don't want that on my record.
Amen.
But Jeanette, if was it your words? Your words were fine. You were challenging her, teaching her, and I think that's a good sign that you're in the Word, that you jumped on the term love, the term black or nigger, but you jumped on the term love, and that's a good thing. I think it was your attitude that might have been wrong, because you were challenging
Terry, I was shaking.
Yeah, so it was you.
This was right before the top blew off the coffee. This was not a self-contained, self-controlled moment for me. And what I said was better than what I could have said.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have said anything to her. I should have let the Holy Spirit speak to her. I was in no condition at that point to open my mouth. As Cassandra said, sometimes you have to have the Holy Spirit put a clamp on it. I was in no condition. I was too angry. If the woman had said one word, Terry, back to me, it would have been frightfully confrontational. And I don't know how that would end because in my past I've had these, you know, 0 to 5,000, not 0 to 100.
Yes, I know.
Shut up.
Amen.
Amen, sister.
Not stop.
You got a witness.
So Jay, for me, this is Fran. Jay, for me, so my challenge would be to not, you know, say something sarcastic back to the woman, like, you know, girl, I understand. That's how I feel every time I have to spend some money with some white dude on it. That's why I'm looking for the Harriet.
Good.
20. You know what I mean? I would go there, and that probably wouldn't help, but. That's what I would do.
You're so cute. When it happens, you be ready to put your boxing gloves on. That's so clever.
That's a good one.
Wow. And they hear my mind is, I wish I had thought of that.
Exactly. Wow.
If we can hold our peace, this matter will get resolved quicker.
Yeah.
And don't forget how this ends. He said, The day of the Lord is upon, that is near, is upon all nations. Every single nation that came against God's people are going to have to answer it, answer for it. Every nation is going to have to answer for their deeds. Mm-hmm. The Edomites are going to have to answer for not standing and for their gloating when they saw somebody else go down.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, whole bunch of people have been adopted. So now it's not just the people of Israel, it's the children of God. The Israelites are not the only children of God. We're now children of God too. Whether we were, you know, you can trace it back by lineage or just by grafting in. So the assault against God's people will be avenged by God, even when God has allowed it and set it up to be so. Don't get caught up in those hairs. You will be very sorry. You don't want to end up in some situation. And maybe if Esau had just stepped off and watched the destruction, it would have been one thing, or stepped off and, you know, turned the other way. That would be bad enough. But no, gloating. So all I'm doing is warning that we have to be careful to watch our heart and guard our heart and heal our heart, because that was the next thing. Okay, Lord, the offense was real, and I'm still boiling about it 2 days later. How do I handle this? When these things happen, ask God, guard my heart and heal my heart from any damage from this offense, so that poison can't set up in you.
Amen.
Like I've said many times on this call, it is not about anybody else. This isn't even about the woman in the post office. Post office Patty. It's not even about her. It's about us. It's about you. It's about me. It's not what you go through. It's how you handle it. And when these things that come up that are this difficult to handle, what an opportunity to grow in Christ. What an opportunity to be reminded the Holy Spirit is helping me. He's closed my mouth. He's allowed me to stand. He did not allow me to become as confrontational as I have in the past. Each time be better and let God deal with the nations. He's looking at the big picture. I'm going to close there. Obadiah has about, I don't know, verse, we're on 16, and it goes to verse 21, but the rest is just talking about that God will eventually have his people to triumph. In other words, my people, I'm going to bring them back. Don't get wrapped up and don't get so happy about their destruction, because I'm never going to destroy my people. I'm going to bring them back. Remember, God is with us. He is with his church here on earth, and that's his people. He's with Israelites that don't know they're Israelites. He is with his people. He is with those of us that have been grafted in by his grace. We're going to have to keep showing grace. We're a recipient of grace. We are going to have to keep trying to find grace. Find grace for the lady in the post office. Find grace for the egregious offenses that are going on every single day. And if you keep listening to the news or, you know, reading up on it, there's not going to be a day that it's not going to break your heart. But as this conversation started out today, let's be part of the solution.
Yes.
Each one of us on your knees, seek the Lord. How can I help? How can I empower our young people that don't know which way to turn, that feel hopeless, lost, have been in bondage by set up systems to keep them there? How can we help deliver our children from the hand of the enemy? Now we're getting there, because the enemy isn't white people, folks. The enemy is Satan. The enemy isn't the insurrectionists. The enemy isn't people that don't look like you. The enemy is Satan. He is the one that put these systems in place to embondage our children, to get them strung out. He put these systems in place. Mm-hmm. That's who we're fighting. And if we can keep elevating and get up a little bit higher off the ground and recognize who the adversary is, it's not any particular faith, it's Satan.
Yeah.
And if you get caught up and you miss this message, you miss what I'm saying, you're going to end up with hatred in your heart towards people who did nothing to you and wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, you're blanketing all white people in one boat and talking about them in general. You will not realize the slippery slope that you will go down in this pit of racism if you are not careful.
Yes.
Before you know it, you will find yourself there. You're right there with the very people you say you hate, because you have the same heart. So recognize first who the real enemy is, because if you do that, it takes color out of the equation.
Amen.
We can be a lot more effective if we are not infected by hatred and bias, prejudice, assumptions. Don't let the deceiver have his way in these areas. So we can go in and let's do something about the situation, which we're doing. We're erecting a ministry. We're all working on a different aspect of that to do something about our embondaged children. Keep the focus there. Don't get caught up on the color.
Amen.
You will find people that will help you, and they come all shapes, sizes, colors, races, because God has his people scattered all among us. Don't miss our blessings. Dear Lord, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you, Lord, for your conviction, starting with me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the experience. I thank you for Obadiah. I thank you for the vision that you gave him, so that it can be a reminder to us. We praise your holy name. I ask you, Lord, to quicken the Holy Spirit in us when we find ourselves, because I gather it's going to be more and more, when we find ourselves in these terrible circumstances or circumstances that are offensive, let your Holy Spirit take over, guide us, direct us, keep us. Sometimes all it can be is to keep you from sinning, keep you from responding. And Lord, please, even have mercy on our enemies as you have had mercy on even us. They're lost too. They're coming from bondage themselves. They're walking around in bondage, Lord. They're crippled with hatred. I ask you, Lord, to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Any other comments?
Amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Jeanette. It's beautiful.
You're welcome, Ms. Exandra. Thank the Holy Spirit, because I wouldn't have been an Obadiah.
I know. I'm like, Oba who? I love it. It's so timely. It was so timely. Thank you so much.
Yes, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He is faithful.
Amen.
Well, we're out.
Thank you, June. And thank you, Richard.
See you later.
Have a blessed day, family. Talk to you soon, Miss Jeanette. Lots to talk about,
right.
You and I. Bye-bye.
Bye, Miss Jeanette.
Who that is? Bye, Mike.
Here's sarcastic son.
Yes, one of them. I have two.
Yes, I know.
Both of them are inherent beautiful trait.
I wonder where, from where.
Yeah. Bane tree.
Are you guys headed out?
Yep, in probably the next 10 minutes.
All right. Safe travel. All right. Call me when you want.
All right.
All right. Yes, just real quick, yesterday was totally God-directed. I was there for a reason, so I'll share it with you when you have time. It's all for his purpose. All right.
Of course.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
How you doing, Mike?